of the events pointed to prophetically by the symbol of the fig tree. Now, we found this examination of the fig tree very profitable. It was actually initiated as a result of conversations with a Jehovah's Witness about Israel, and had quite a lengthy conversation, and it seems that every time we look at a scripture that deals with Israel, they always have their answer for it and simply make an application to the church or the anointed. And so we thought to look for some way in which we might be able to convince the one of the fact that natural Israel indeed was referred to in the scriptures and had some promises to be yet inherited and fulfilled upon them. And in examining some of the things, we looked in their book, which perhaps some of you are familiar with, the Age Bible Understanding, which they publish. And it was quite interesting in looking under the fig tree that they don't identify that symbol and its fulfillment in the parables given by our Lord. So we thought to do a study on that, and these thoughts that we have resulted from that study. They make the statement that in view of this prominence of the fig tree in the life of the people, it is understandable why it was so frequently used in prophecy. And then it goes on to say, the fig tree's putting forth of its leaves toward the middle of the spring season was used by Jesus as a well-known time indicator. But then they don't go on to identify what it indicated or what the symbol was. So we thought that it would be profitable to confirm in our own mind the fact that the fig tree does represent Israel as it was used by our Lord in parables in the New Testament. So first we want to examine the characteristics of the fig tree and its fruit, the fig. Then we want to examine various references to fig and fig tree in the scriptures. Thirdly, we want to examine with a degree of detail the use of fig and fig tree as symbols in prophecy. And fourthly, we want to identify and confirm the events important to the church that are associated with the fig tree in prophecy. So let's begin by examining the fig and fig tree. The fig tree is native to Southwest Asia, Palestine, Syria, and Egypt, that particular area. It's a tree that grows to 30 to 35 feet and may have a trunk diameter of 2 feet. It has wide-spreading branches and very large leaves, sometimes 8 inches wide. The fig tree is adaptable to various kinds of soil, even doing well in rocky soil, and it is noted for its remarkable longevity. And it's notable that while it will grow wild, like many other trees, to produce good fruit, it requires cultivation. And it is primarily appreciated for its fruitage, but it is also appreciated for its, has a value for its shade. And we note that in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, that Jesus saw Nathanael in the shade of a fig tree. In John, the first chapter, verses 48-50. One of the very curious and interesting things about the fig tree is its annual growth cycle. And we'd like to, we've got an illustration that may help. I hope you'll be able to read this. It's curious in that the first thing the tree does in the growth season is it puts forth fruit buds. And then afterwards, about 2 months later, around April or perhaps early May, the leaves appear on the tree. So the leaves appear 2 months following the fruit buds. And so the thing that we realize from this is that by the time the leaves appear on the fig tree, there should be fruit on the tree also. It should be bearing fruit. And we want to keep this fact in mind when we look at parables in the New Testament. When leaves are on the fig tree, it should be bearing fruit, which is in the ripening process or nearly ripe. Then later, in about June or perhaps early July, the first crop of figs ripens. And one of the characteristics of these first ripe figs is that they are easily shaken from the tree. And this is picked up in some of the figures in the scripture. And finally, in August or September, a second crop of figs appears and ripens on the tree. So the fig tree bears two distinct crops of figs each year in its annual growth cycle. And this understanding of this growth cycle is very important and an important key in understanding the New Testament passages regarding the fig tree. Uses of figs, as we find it mentioned in the Bible, are primarily two, mainly for food. We find many references to the use of figs as a food. They were a staple source of food in Bible times and in present times in the Near Eastern countries. As a food, they were dried and formed or pressed into cakes of figs, pressed together for convenience of storage and carrying. We'd like to examine a couple of references regarding the use of figs in this manner. 1 Samuel 25:18. We'll leave it to you to examine the context of this reference at some future time. We won't take the time to read it. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. Another reference is in 1 Samuel 30 and 12. We'll read the 11th verse also. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and 2 clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit again came to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. Again, you can examine the context at some future time, but here are a couple of references to the use of figs as a food and the fact that they were pressed into these cakes of dried figs. We also find that a cake of figs was used we find a reference in 2 Kings 20 and 7. A cake of figs was used as a poultice to cure Hezekiah's boil. And so, in a second usage then that we find in the scriptures was a medicinal usage for figs. Well, there are many other types of ways in the scriptures that we find figs used or referred to other than as a food or a medicine. Actually, the fig or fig tree is mentioned approximately 44 times in the scriptures. The first reference is in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And it's a reference to the fact that Adam and Eve, when they realized that they were naked, sewed together fig leaves to make themselves aprons or coverings, clothing. We also find that figs were among the fruits brought back by the spies from the land of Canaan. Numbers 13, 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with 1 cluster of grapes, and they bare it between 2 upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So this again was some of the fruit of the land that they found, that the spies found for Israel. You know, it's interesting to consider also that just a short time later, they returned in the 14th chapter, we have the record of their disbelief of the report of the 2 faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua, and the nation's fear because of the evil report of the 10 spies, and they were turned back from the land to wander in the wilderness. And then if we look in the 20th chapter of Numbers, in the 5th verse, we find that one of the things Israel was complaining about being in the wilderness is that there were no figs. And they were murmuring and said, "And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." And if we remember, the spies brought back a cluster from the vine, figs, and pomegranates. And perhaps there's a lesson for us there that, you know, the Lord shows us a blessing and we don't take advantage of it, and then later complain that we don't have that blessing. I found myself doing that at times when perhaps I desired an opportunity to witness, and then one came along, and through fear or timidity, I didn't take advantage of it. And then I might say later, "How come you haven't given me any opportunities to witness, Lord?" Now, it's the same thing that Israel fell into here, and we want to make sure we don't do that. One of the curious things about the references to figs in the Bible is that it's often associated with other fruits, as we've just seen in the references that we've read. It's associated with the olive, the pomegranate, and the vine, or grapes or raisins. And of the 44 times which we have a reference to the fig or fig tree, 30 times in the same phrase we have the reference to the vine or the grape. And that's more than 70% of the references. What the possible prophetic or symbolic meaning of this association between those two is uncertain to me. I don't know. We've thought upon it and haven't come to any conclusion, but I'm sure there must be one, the fact that they're associated so many times together. Other types of references that we find is that the figs and grapes were of such importance as staple foods and essential to the survival of the nation that the ruination of the fig or grape crop brought calamity upon the nation. And thus the destruction of the fig and grape crops were used symbolically in Scripture as to prophesy of trouble upon Israel. And we'd like to look at one reference in Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. Jeremiah 5, verses 15 through 17. "Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulchre. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest, with the sword." So it was tied in with calamity upon the nation. And we find that it's not just used in reference to Israel. In Psalm 105, verse 33, the same type of figurative reference is used in regard to trouble coming upon Egypt. And then conversely, adequate supplies of figs were used as a symbol of security, peace, and prosperity in the Bible. We have the reference in regard to the kingdom in Micah 4:4 about every man sitting under his vine and under his fig tree. That same type of reference was used in 1 Kings 4:25 regarding Solomon's reign. 1 Kings 4:25. "And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon." And even Sennacherib, king of Assyria, used this figure of speech when he was laying siege to Jerusalem. The reference is in 2 Kings 18:31. He said, you know, "Come out of your city and come to Assyria, where, you know, everyone will have their vine and fig tree," and trying to entice them to be faint-hearted and give up the battle. Well, there are other references where fig tree is used, or figs. We find that the ease with which the first ripe figs can be shaken from a tree is used to symbolically describe a condition of vulnerability or prone to a fall. We find a reference in Nahum 3:12 regarding Nineveh. And another one we find in Isaiah 34:4 in reference to false Christian institutions. We'd like to read that one, Isaiah 34:4. It's a familiar passage, at least the first part we often reference, and sometimes we don't read the remainder of the verse. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a fallen fig from the fig tree. And this would be in reference to these first ripe figs and the ease with which they're shaken from the tree. We also find that the fig tree is used as an indicator of time prophetically. And time is passing on rapidly. We had several references, but I think we'll go on to those in the New Testament to consider these time references to in which the fig or fig tree is used. And finally, the other type of reference that uses fig or fig tree is to symbolize the nation of Israel. And we want to emphasize that it's used to symbolize the nation, not individuals, but the nation as a whole. And some of the references in the Old Testament, we would find one in Jeremiah, the 24th chapter, verses 1 to 10, which is the entire chapter. And this is a reference, or the passage which contains Jeremiah's being shown a vision of the two baskets of figs, one basket which was very good and the other which was worthless figs. And this was in regard to the faithfulness of the Jews in the return from the Babylonian captivity. We find another reference in Hosea 9:10. We realize we're passing over these very quickly, but we find ourselves talking too long. So Jeremiah 24 and also Hosea 9:10 are Old Testament references. And then we again will touch on some in the New Testament, which we think will conclusively show that the fig tree does indeed represent Israel. And we'd like to look at that now. What is the specific prophetic application of the references in the New Testament which use the fig tree? What is the application? What does the fig tree symbolize? To begin, we'd like to look back at the Old Testament in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, Isaiah 5. And the first 7 verses of that chapter. It's a parable regarding a vineyard, and we'd like to read those verses. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes, or that is, bad grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. And then the parable was explained. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. This parable shows that the nation would fail to develop fruitage of character that would enable them to recognize Jesus as the Messiah when he came to them, and then become, as a result, the seed of Abraham. So because of their lack of fruitage of character, they did not respond to his teachings, did not recognize him as Messiah, and rejected him. Now we'd like to turn over to the New Testament, to Luke the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 9, and we believe there is a parallel parable to this passage in Isaiah 5. Luke 13, 6 to 9. In Isaiah, we're told that the vineyard represented Israel, and we think that that helps us identify the figures in the 13th chapter of Luke. Verses 6 to 9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Now in Isaiah, it was a vine. Figure was a vine, but here it's changed to a fig tree, but we think it's still the fig tree represents Israel, that the events are parallel. And in both cases, they're looking for fruitage on the vine or the fig tree. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? Or, that is, why burden the ground with the tree and supplying it nutrients if it's not going to bear fruit? Might as well cut it down and not encumber the ground that way. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, that is, fertilize it with manure. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. We think that this is a parallel parable to the passage in Isaiah, which we just considered. We think that this one refers very specifically to the time of our Lord's ministry. And the reason we think that is because of the time feature that's put into this parable, the 3 years that he came seeking fruit, and the fourth year in which the dresser of the vineyard said, let it alone a fourth year and see if it bears fruit in that year. And then, if not, then go ahead and cut it down. We think the understanding of how this time feature fits our Lord's ministry will be aided with a chart. Again, we hope it will be readable to those that are in the back. We know that our Lord's baptism occurred in the fall or October of the year AD 29. And we've represented that at the beginning of our timeline here. Now, the 3 years that he would have come seeking fruit would have concluded then in the fall or October of AD 32. And that was at the end of 3 years of his ministry. The fourth year in the parable in which he would examine, the dresser encouraged him to wait and examine for fruitage on the tree, would have corresponded to the remaining half year of his ministry. Now, you might say, well, that's only 3.5 years. How does that really fit the parable, which talks about 4 years? Well, if you remember back to the characteristics of the fig tree and its annual growth cycle, it had two crops of figs. And by the month of April, in the spring of the year, you recall that there would be leaves on the tree. But before leaves appeared, 2 months before that, fruit buds appear for the first crop of figs from the tree. And by the time the leaves were on the tree should have been there full of fruit that was ripening, or perhaps near ripe. So by that time, 6 months after the end of the first 3 years of his ministry, there should have been fruit on fig trees in the land of Israel. Our Lord did not have to wait in this picture or figure until the end of the fourth year to determine whether there would be fruit on the tree. By that time, two crops of figs would have been ripened. But by the time his life and his ministry on earth was completed, there would have been a crop of figs on the tree, and by looking at it at that time, he would have been able to determine whether or not the tree indeed would bear fruit that year. So we feel that this is the time feature that makes this parable very specific in its application to our Lord's ministry and him, he coming to seek footage from the nation of Israel seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, we have heard the thought that the 4 years, because our Lord's ministry was 3.5 years, and the parable refers to a period of 4 years, that perhaps it included the 6 months of John the Baptist's ministry preceding our Lord's 3.5 years of ministry. From our studies, we do not believe that this would be the correct interpretation. If you think about going back 6 months prior to October AD 29, to include John's ministry, you would find that in the cycle of the growth and fruitage of the fig tree, we have backed up into a fifth season. And that prior to October, in September, in August and September of AD 29, there would have been a crop of figs on the tree. And even going all the way back to April, the full 6 months, there would have been the first ripe figs upon the tree. And so if we were to include the 6 months of John's ministry, actually when our Lord came seeking fruitage in the half year or the fourth year of his ministry, he would have been examining the tree during a fifth growing season. And it would have been an inspection a fifth time for fruitage from the nation of Israel on the fig tree. So we do not think that the reference to 4 years includes John's ministry of 6 months preceding our Lord's, but that the 4 years is strictly a reference to the first 3 years of our Lord's ministry, and then the fourth year, halfway through it, he could see that there would be no fruitage from the nation just at the time of his death. We hope that's clear to the brethren in the explanation. We'd hope that this chart might assist in seeing that. Well, in the last days of our Lord's ministry on earth, we have the event where he actually passed by a fig tree and cursed it because it had no fruit. We'd like to look at that. We find it recorded in Matthew 21, but we'd like to look at the record in Mark, the 11th chapter, in our consideration. Mark 11, verses 12 to 14. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, or to the age. And his disciples heard it. And then in the 20th and 21st verses, the following day, we have this record. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now, some have suggested that there are difficulties in this parable, one of them being the fact that it says the time of figs was not yet. Well, how could our Lord expect to find figs on the tree and then curse it for not having the figs if it wasn't the time for figs? Well, we find that that's not the thought of the passage. There are two possible thoughts. One possible thought is that the time of figs was not yet over. That is, the figs should still be there on the tree. Now, that's a possible thought. We think the probable thought is the time for harvesting figs was not yet. That is, the figs still should be there because it wasn't the time for harvesting the first ripe figs from the tree. And therefore, our Lord should have expected to see them there because of the fact that there were already leaves on the tree. Again, thinking back to the annual cycle, that first crop of figs should be ripening when the leaves appear. Another difficulty that has been suggested by some is the fact that Jesus took figs off the tree. And we would just make reference to the note that we find in the Dialogue on this passage, which says that
The fact that Jesus had a right to gather figs from this tree, if there had been any upon it, appears from the law of Moses mentioned in Deuteronomy 23, verses 24 and 25. I would suggest that for your consideration. Josephus, alluding to this law, mentions the ripe fruits in general, not just grapes and corn only, which are the two products that are mentioned in the Deuteronomy passage. His words, that is Josephus's, are, "Let not passengers, whether natives or strangers, be hindered from touching the ripe fruits. Let them be permitted to fill themselves with them, but not to carry any away." So apparently from the law, it's definitely indicated in that passage that it was permitted for travelers to satisfy their hunger by taking from the fruitage along the way. The point of the lesson is, as we mentioned, that the tree had leaves and the Lord had every right to expect there would be fruit on that tree, but it didn't. And in that way, Jesus was able to know that that particular tree would not bear fruit that year. And as a symbol of the nation then, it indicated that he realized that there would be no fruitage of character from the nation of Israel that year either, that fourth year of his ministry. Israel had only the outward show of being God's chosen people, but no fruitage as a nation. Their national privilege of being the blessed of mankind was therefore taken away. They failed to recognize the promised seed and his teaching. And we find the reference in Matthew 21, verse 43, that it would be given to a nation or people, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Following this, then, at least in the picture of the use of the fig tree as a symbol of Israel, we find the parable which our Lord spoke about the fig tree putting forth leaves. That's recorded in Matthew, the 24th chapter. We'd like to look at it briefly from Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21, verses 29 to 32. "And he spake to them a parable, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." And we recall from the previous incident, the record of Jesus cursing the fig tree, that he says, "May no man either be to the age," with the implication that at the end of the dispensation, there might be that possibility of fruitage. And this is what this parable is pointing out, that the fig tree would again put forth leaves and would have a time when it would bear fruit. We believe that the putting forth of leaves then, which indicates summer, the time of fruitage, that this is very near. And fruitage would indicate that blindness of Israel is being removed, this blindness being referred to by Paul in Romans 11:25. And looking back over the past 100 years or so, we see that perhaps the first ripe figs of the tree have appeared and represented the Zionist movement and the regathering to Israel. And then the putting forth of leaves represented their birth again as a nation. That would leave in the annual growth cycle the ripening of the main summer crop of figs. And that this represents what is yet to come when Israel's blindness is removed, and they turn again to the Heavenly Father in faith and submission and recognize Jesus as the Messiah. This is the fruitage from the nation of Israel that God desires. And how thrilling it is that we can see that that time is approaching when Israel's blindness will be removed and they will turn in faith to recognize Jesus as Messiah with the events that we understand prophetically from the Scriptures. See, our time is about gone. The question that remains is, why is this so important to us? Why should we be concerned about this? It's some parables and some events in the Scriptures. But the importance to us as a church is the fact that these references and parables contain additional aspects talking about the deliverance of the church. And we find that in the passage which is the theme text here, we find some of these references. Luke 21, verse 31. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And understanding the role of the church in the kingdom, we would know that the deliverance is very near also. Again, that the blindness upon Israel is until the full number of the Gentiles be come in. So if we've seen the leaves appear symbolically with the birth of the nation, and know that the figs, the summer crop of figs is near, then we would expect that the blindness being removed is near, and so that the time of the completion of the church is very near. There's another reference which we'll just cite to you, Song of Solomon 2:13, which contains another reference to the fig tree putting forth figs, and the beloved calling, saying, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Again, the gathering of the church. And finally, a last reference, again in Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then he spoke this parable of the fig tree. Now, it's interesting to consider the meaning of that look up. And we might think, well, yeah, we'll just look up and look around, see if our deliverance draweth nigh. The thought of the Greek is specific. It means watching with outstretched neck. That's not just lifting up the head. It's really looking around, trying to see the events and take note of what is happening, eagerly anticipating the deliverance that is associated with the time, features, and events that we see around us. It's that anticipation that we must have. We should close at this point. We have a few other thoughts, but we hope that the consideration of these thoughts regarding the fig tree may have been beneficial to increasing your understanding of the tree and the fruit and how it is used in scriptures, especially as a prophetic symbol, and that we might remember and have our faith strengthened by the remembrance of the fact that the deliverance of the church and the fulfillment of all these things regarding the kingdom is tied in with the putting forth of fruit on the fig tree, which follows the events which we have already seen. And we hope that we would all be more encouraged to be more diligent in faithfully fulfilling our covenant of sacrifice. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule and forgive anything said incorrectly or out of harmony with his word.
Thank you, Brother Tom, for that very interesting and thought-provoking subject of the fig tree. Take note of a few announcements. The call porter meeting will be held tonight at 9:45 in Hinsdale Hall, room 215. Hinsdale Hall is the next one over. That's where the children's classes are being held. But you want to go to room 215 at 9:45 for the call porter meeting. Lunch today will be held at the last time at Kennedy Center. So we're going to have lunch at Kennedy Center. After that, this evening, and for the rest of the convention, the meals will be served on the ground level of Miller Hall. Miller Hall is the second building over from our house there. And when you go to the cafeteria, while you stay at street level, as you approach the building, you'll be scared going upstairs. Don't go upstairs because you'll have to come down. Stay at the floor level, go around those stairs, and go into the cafeteria. You eat lunch still at Kennedy Center, but this evening, remember, it'll be at Miller Hall and for the rest of the convention. We understand the photos for the convention is running low. So if any of the brethren desire photos of the entire convention, go to the book table and make arrangements for those. And they made another suggestion that those that are here are the young people who wish additional proof for their conscientious objection stand, they might want a photo also. Brethren who will be serving tonight as ushers for the public meeting are requested to meet with the convention committee this afternoon at 3:15 in the lobby of the auditorium for instructions. If you're one of the ushers that have been assigned for this evening, 3:15 this afternoon in the outer lobby with the convention committee. That takes care of our announcements. We'll close with hymn number 105. 105 will rise on the last verse, and Brother Tom will dismiss us with prayer, asking a blessing on our noonday meal. 105.
Thee as our Father, and are thankful to Thee for the evidences in Scripture, the indications we have that the time of fulfillment of all the blessed promises is very near at hand. We pray that these things would be an encouragement to us to be more faithful and zealous in serving Thee and the interests of Thy kingdom. We would ask Thee to give us each individually the experiences we need to help develop in us a Christ-like character, that we might be more than overcomers. And Father, we also now ask a blessing upon the food which will be set before us. May we use the strength to lead lives that are glorifying to Thee. And we also ask Thy blessing on our fellowship during the period. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.